Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to the NBA Panel. I'm your host, John Witherspoon, with the panel members. We'll keep you updated with all things NBA. Today, we are joined by The Ringer. The Ringer takes over the NBA panel. We're joined by staff writer Jonathan Jarks. What's going on, Jonathan?
It's good, man. How you doing?
Everything's good. This NBA season is heating up a lot. We got the Warriors. They just recently went to work on my team, the Denver Nuggets, put up a record 51 points in the first quarter. If they play like that, the team that we all know they can be, and they about to get back to Marcus Cousins, it's going to be ugly the rest of the season. I mean, you add in a dominant player in the post, which they really don't have, to go along with the mid-range of Kevin Durant, the outside shooting of the Splash Brothers. I think they can almost run the table if they wanted to. I don't think they'll put emphasis on that to run the table the rest of the year when he comes back. They still need time to implement him back in to get his feet wet and see how he does. They're probably going to ease him back in. I don't think he'll be starting right away. But once he gets
Cousins. I think they said they would, actually. So I remember. They're going to put him right in the starting lineup.
That'd be a good move.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see how healthy he is. But pretty serious injuries coming back from. I don't think you can assume he'll be anywhere close to where he was last year.
Yeah, Achilles injury is hard. One of the
players.
Just
for a big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's huge, so.
Yeah, I think the only player in NBA history really came back good off that injury was Dominique Wilkins, which came back to almost to his regular form. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and he was in much better shape than DeMarcus Cousins, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, DeMarcus is way bigger.
Exactly.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know that it's going to be a really easy transition. I mean,
yeah, because his production is going to depend on if he's brought back next year, but it's going to be hard regardless. Because if he plays well, we all know he's going to get a big contract offer, and the Golden State Warriors really can't offer that unless they get rid of like Draymond Green, which I don't know. Well, that's another story, but we'll see. Do you think that would work out to try and bring him back?
I mean, I think the first thing that happens with Durant. I mean, if Durant leaves, maybe it'd make more sense to try to restructure the team around a different seven-footer. I think they're like, DeMarcus is very low on their list of concerns right now, I think, for next. It's all about KD.
Yeah, and also Klay Thompson.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Klay's up too.
Yeah, so you got a lot of decisions to make over there. So, Jonathan, can get us caught up on your career up to this point. How did you end up with the Ringer?
I've been doing this. So I started blogging in like college. I graduated in 2009. So I've been doing it for a long time now, and I did that on my own for a while in college, an independent blog. I eventually got picked up by Real GM. This is probably like 2011.
Right.
And then I started freelancing all over the place. I worked at SB Nation, Vice Sports. So I've just been, really kind of working the grind for a long time, and then The Ringer picked me up in 2016.
That's great, man. You had a great organization. Have you been building me on Bill Simmons yet?
Yeah, I've been a spot a few times. I mean, I'm not based out of LA, so I don't really see.
Yeah, you're in
much.
Dallas.
So I've gotten to meet and talk. Yeah, okay. I've gotten to meet and talk to him a few times. Pretty good dude.
That's cool. So, how was it covering the Dallas Mavericks and Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer Dirk Nowitzki in his 21st season?
I don't cover them as much anymore than when I was, because now I'm focusing on the whole league, so okay. I'm not at the game all that often. But as far as this season has been crazy with, Luka and Dennis and all that, Dirk
yeah.
is kind of like, I mean, Dirk's old now, so it's not like a huge part of the team anymore. Honestly.
Right. Yeah, this situation with Luka is crazy, but Luka came onto the scene. Like, he's my favorite rookie of the year. I think it's a lock now. My opinion, I think it's a lock. He's rookie of the year. He's one of the leading all-star vote getters right now. He's only like behind like LeBron.
See, I wish like that didn't happen. I feel like that's going to be a backlash in the league. Like, I don't think other players appreciate Luka getting more votes than like Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's dumping the line or something.
Exactly. He's become a fan favorite. Like, Luka's like, he's like a lovable player. Like, you just can't not like Luka. Like, he's on the floor, like, jumping around.
Great, yeah. The way he plays is fantastic. He's very, he's very fan-friendly style. Definitely fits the way the league is going.
Definitely. And he's clutch. He's hit a few clutch shots over the last couple weeks, like, to win a game for the Mavs and, like, to seal the game and everything. Like,
I would just say, like, it's confidence, man. He's one of the most confident. Like, I mean, because it makes sense, because, like, his confidence is based off what he did in Europe. Like, he didn't come into the league thinking, oh, I have to, like, prove myself, or I have to, like, you know, build. He knew he was good from the jump. And that's, like, the biggest thing for a lot of young guys is having that confidence.
Exactly. Because he's fit. It was a good pick for them to get him. He fits good with the Mavericks. Definitely does. Shout out to Mark Cuban for making that move. So how's your experience working at the Ringer so far?
It's great. I mean, I love it. They're pretty chill. I mean, they give us a lot of freedom what we want to write about. I mean, everyone's just great. Like, there's a great network around me. Like, right. I'm only, like, the stuff I do is, like, I got editors, there's photo art people, fact checkers. There's the whole, like, infrastructure behind you as a writer, which isn't that common anymore in the internet. A lot of places I worked before, you're kind of on your own. There's really no support. But they're going to really do that support in their writer, which just makes my life so much easier.
Yeah, hearing you say you have the freedom to write what you want is a good thing, because we have, like, networks like ESPN. They have you on restriction. Like, they monitor everything you can do. So that's a good thing to hear about the Ringer. That's good.
Good. They don't put us in a box. They're like, oh, you got to write about these couple teams. You got to stick to stats. You got to stick to profile. It's kind of like, hey, man, whatever you want to write about, we're going to make sure it's good and you're going to clear it out, which is just fantastic.
Definitely. Can you pinpoint exactly when you decided this is like what you wanted to do? Like, journalism is it for me?
I worked at it in high school, so I always wanted to do it. It was more like, would I be able to make a living doing it?
I understand.
That's really, you know. Yeah. So, like, for me, it was really, until I worked at the Ringer, I'd always had a day job. I was doing this on the side, because it's just hard to make a living doing this in this business. So that was the big thing. I was like, okay. And I got the job when I was, like, 28 or 29 now.
Right.
And, like, that's like the age where it's like, man, I got to stop. If you don't get this full-time gig, you kind of have to look, okay, maybe I got to stop chasing the dream, because you can't work two jobs forever, obviously.
Exactly.
So it was really just good timing.
What advice would you give anyone that's pursuing journalism?
Oh, I mean, the biggest thing is to just, a lot. A, you got to be willing to work. It's a really tough industry to get into. So you got, I would say, work. It's like two things at the same time. You have to work and write at a lot of places and try to, like, grow as a writer.
Right.
But you have to also, like, develop expertise at something so you can become an expert and you can add insight to what you're writing.
Exactly.
So it's like, I would just say the biggest thing, man, work really hard and then also find a subject you can really get into and really understand at an in-depth level so that people will, like, oh, I wonder what person X thinks about this subject. Well, I know this person's an expert. I know he has a lot of research, a lot of familiarity, but I can read him to get a better knowledge about it.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice. Because me, I'm a creator of the NBA panel, so now I cover NCAA, NBA G League, the NBA, also did some Hall of Fame work. So I'm, like, writing on all of those levels. So I'm covering all those subjects. So everything I cover, I write about. So I'm, like, getting experience in all those different you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So I'm getting experience with that.
And I think, too, as a writer, you also want to, like, write about other subjects. I think it helps you grow as a writer, because, like, there's different areas to grow in, right? You grow in your expertise as a subject and your knowledge matter.
Right.
But there's also just growing as, like, a writer. And, like, how can I put stories together? How do I create concepts? How do I fill out?
Right.
How do I tell a story? And that can be done not writing about basketball, writing about anything.
Right. I know for me, networking is important when I, like, try and book shows and book guests. How important is the networking process in journalism, like, building your credibility?
That's a good question. I think part of it is just, like, so people know who you are, right? Like, it's what you were thinking about, like, a tree falling in the forest. That's a really hard part about the industry now, is, like, there's so much out there, it's hard for people to find you. So you want people to know who you are. I think part of it, too, is, like, the more people you know, the more information you can gather, right? Like, I know I'm pretty good friends with a lot of beat writers around the NBA, and that's helpful because they're watching their teams a lot more than I'm watching mine, watching them, right? They're watching their teams. It's not possible to do for every team. And so, like, if I know something about a game, I could ask them, hey, what do you think about this? Or even, like, scouts or front office guys, the same thing. Like, the more people you can ask questions and bounce information off of, the more you're going to know, the better your writing's going to be.
Exactly, exactly. Back to Luka for a second. Do you think this instant success that he's had in the NBA will be too much pressure on him in the future? I mean, we all know he was successful overseas before he came over here. But in the NBA, you know, the better you get, the bigger target you have on your back. Like, players are going to go after you. Like, okay, you're established now, so now I'm going to come for you harder. Do you think that might come back on Luka later on?
I mean, I think that's all. It's all part of the process of, you know, going into being a featured guy. I think the issue more for the Mavs is finding players around them because they don't have a draft pick in next year's draft. That's the top five protected. And this whole thing with Dennis might looks like that's going to blow up. So now the Mavs have 3 years of lottery picks, only one player and Luka out of it. So how do you build a good team around him and they'll become like Anthony Davis in New Orleans? That to me is the biggest issue right now in Dallas.
Yeah, I think right now the Mavs are 13th in the West right now.
Yeah, the thing is, like, they got a lot of older players, right? They got no draft picks here. And then, like, are they going to be able to sign any big free agents? I don't think so. So how do you get good players on Luka? It's going to be hard to get out of the box they're in right now, honestly.
Very true. Very true. Speaking of draft picks, there's a player that we all know, Zion Williamson.
Love Zion.
Yeah, I can't wait to cover Zion. He is so listed at 6'7", 280. He jumps out the gym. He is so athletic and big for his size. It's crazy. Like, it's ridiculous. What team do you think he might go to? There's, like, maybe, like, six legit teams that may have a shot at him. Well,
I think whoever's number one is going to take him, regardless of pre-existing roster stuff. I mean, I think it's not even just that, the athleticism. He's very, very skilled.
Yeah,
like,
he's a good passer.
He can dribble it, he can pass it. Like, he's probably the most skilled player in the team. And he's got a better, I feel like, even so, like, he's on the same team as RJ Barrett and Reddish. I think Zion, they're elite guards. Right. Zion, I think, has a better feel for the game than both of them. He's a much more natural, instinctive passer. He can read the floor really well. He already wants to go on the court. And what's really impressed me is, like, Zion, to get to W, is going to pass the ball. Like, he's a pretty unselfish player. Like, he's clearly better than RJ, but he's letting RJ take a lot of really stupid shots and not letting him affect him. That's impressed me.
Yeah, Duke is loaded over there with, like you just mentioned, Reddish and Barrett. Yeah, arguably may have the top three picks in the upcoming draft if they all three declare. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I think, too, you're seeing, like, the reason it's working is because Zion's not being like, oh, man, it's my team. I got to get all the shots. Like, he's letting RJ be the top guy, even though he's not the best player. So, like, that's really impressive. Because, like, in the NBA, it's all about sacrifice. It's not easy to do for a lot of guys.
Exactly. Yeah, like I mentioned, there's maybe, like, six teams that's really in a run for him right now. The Knicks, Bulls, Cavs, maybe even the Mavs. I mean, the Grizzlies and the Suns. Most people think it's going to be either the Suns, the Knicks, or the Cavs. I think a lot of people think New York. I think New York may be a good fit for Zion because of the market and everything, and they need a player to go with Porzingis. And if they get Porzingis come back healthy and they get Zion, that might bring maybe like Kyrie over there or Kevin Durant. Maybe I mean they can get the Knicks relevant again.
Maybe if you get that number one pick, maybe you could trade it for Anthony Davis. Right.
That's true. Zion replacing Anthony Davis they could do that. They had a lot of options. The number one pick this year is going to have a lot of options wherever it gets it. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Zion, it doesn't really matter the fit. He's good enough for, like, the fit is him. You have Zion, you build around him. So, like, with a lot of guys, like, even with top five picks sometimes, it's like, okay, if we draft this guy, obviously with the players we already have.
Right.
Zion, I think, is one of the rare prospects where it doesn't matter. Like, this guy's so good, everybody else is going to have to fall in line.
Yeah, he's continuously making highlight films, like, every game. Like, he lives on ESPN. ESPN social sites love Zion.
It's like the little things. He hit three threes in the game the other day. I mean, if he's going to hit threes, man.
Oh, yeah, it's a wrap. It's more of a wrap because He's already physically ready for the NBA. His size, he can bang down low early. Like, and he won't get pushed around.
Yeah, he can be in the league now. He doesn't need to be in college.
Definitely, definitely. He won't get pushed around like that. And when he gets to the league. One player, James Harden, is like on a mission. He just became the first player to have back-to-back 50-point-plus games. Like, when the season started, I thought LeBron was a runaway. I thought it was LeBron's to lose because, you know, the Lakers haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, and LeBron hasn't won MVP in 5 years. So I figured 1 plus 1 is 2, but as they say, they got to play. And LeBron is hurt right now, but it's obvious the Lakers need him. Because every time LeBron goes down, his team doesn't do as well. But James Harden is on a tear right now. Like, he wants an MVP bad. Do you see him coming away with it, or you think it'll calm down when LeBron comes back?
I mean, I think LeBron's out of it already, honestly. I think it's more like Harden and Giannis. The tough thing when you're LeBron's age, like, more likely to get hurt.
Right.
Like, when he comes back, if he can play a full minute load, I kind of doubt it. This is, like, his most serious injury of his career. I kind of think they're going to manage this pretty carefully. He's 34. He's played a ton of minutes. Like, to me, MVP is about going all out in the regular season. And it's very hard for players as old as LeBron to do that consistently on a night-to-night basis. I mean, he isn't. I wouldn't even say LeBron was playing his best the first half of the year before he got hurt. I mean, he was great, but
yeah. You
could tell that he was leaving something in reserve, which is fine if he's old, but MVP about, you know, being good now. To me, Harden and Giannis play separate themselves. I think it's another one of those two.
Yeah, that also brings up the definition of what some people think of as an MVP, because some people think the most valuable player is, like, you take him off that team, what did that team do without them? But also, I mean, James Harden's doing this without one of his main players, CP3. But we all know anytime LeBron leaves a team, like, LeBron just left the Cavs, and now they're in the basement again. Like, this is the same team, basically, minus Kyle Korver that went to the finals last year. So it's crazy that one man left and went downhill like that. So we all know LeBron.
Yeah, I remember. Was it Tristan Thompson was saying for the season? He was like, "Oh, you know, the Cavs. We still won the last four finals."
Still going through. Yeah,
and everyone was like, "Oh man, come on, get out of here."
Yeah, I remember that. I said he was think LeBron still in the locker room when he said that, but I guess he was trying to rally the troops. But obviously, it didn't work. So
crazy.
All-star voting returns have came back, and like we one player we just mentioned, Luka is only behind LeBron James in the West for voting. The fans love Luka. I mean, Luka's above Steph Curry in fan voting. It's crazy.
Yeah, to me, it's like, let's calm down. Let's just calm down. Let's let this man grow into who he's becoming. But whatever. I mean, I don't think it matters because it's not just a fan vote anymore, right? Fan vote is half the vote. And
yeah.
It's what? Media and players for the other half of the starters. So I don't think Luka's going to start.
Yeah, right now it's looking like LeBron and Giannis are going to be team captains. Well, LeBron will be captain again, back-to-back captains. So we'll see how that goes. And Kyrie Irving finally realized it's hard to be a leader. He said he called LeBron and apologized to him. I think that shows growth on Kyrie's part that he admits he was wrong. Could you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know. It's like it's just part of getting older, right?
Yeah.
You get older, you're in a position, you can put yourself in. But here's the thing, though. Kyrie's wrong, but he did get his own. I mean, is he wrong? I don't know. He got his own team out of it. So what he's really doing is sending a message to the young guys in Boston saying, I shouldn't have done what I did. He's saying, don't do what I did, do what I say. And that's not great leadership either, you know?
Right.
So he's really saying, Tatum, Brown, Rozier, fall in line. Like, I should have LeBron. And they're like, well, why should he didn't do it, you know?
Exactly. As we all know, Kyrie got a lot of credit for the 2016 title because he hit that three. But without LeBron's block, that three isn't set up. But they did miss Kyrie last year. They got swept by the Warriors. They needed his scoring points because LeBron really had nobody else to depend on. And LeBron's a bad man, but going up against that juggernaut, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Greg Popovich said he's unsure if he'll coach next year. And the Spurs need him. Well, I mean, they made the playoffs 22 consecutive seasons now, I believe. and they had that Kawhi mess last year. They got over that. DeRozan stepped in. They're like, they started, I believe, 11 and 14. Now they're 6 in the West. They're not, I don't see them as like a contender, but you can't never count them out. But I don't see them come out of the West, especially with the Warriors up there. Also, the other teams, I mean, like you have Denver Nuggets balling right now, which is my favorite team, but I don't put too much emphasis on the Warriors, on the Nuggets right now, because I keep thinking about the 2012-2013, that season. 12-13 season, where they were like,
I think. First year against the Warriors?
Yeah, they were 57-24, I believe.
Yeah.
They were the third seed, and they lost. I like to see that was the Golden State Warriors coming out party, because after that, that's when the legacy started. That gave the Warriors, like, footing, and their dynasty began after that, I believe. Like, they gave them the confidence to, like, and they just grew after that. Then they had that transition, the additions of KD, like, a couple years later after that. So, it's crazy. But there's a lot of teams in the West. The West is going to be a dogfight to the end. Like, 3-9 is, like, separated by, I believe, like, 2 games. So, when it comes playoff time, that's going to be a big battle. Definitely, definitely. Who do you see coming out of the East?
Oh, man. I think, to me, I kind of feel like Boston, for as much as they struggled this season, I think they got the most talent, top to bottom.
I agree.
I think the big thing is, I think Horford is huge for them. I think he gives them that pick and pop center.
True.
And he can attack all the other guys in the East, like
True.
Embiid, Brooke Lopez, Ibaka, right. Miles Turner. All the other centers in the East can't deal with that.
Right.
And so to me, that gives Boston an advantage the other teams don't have.
Yeah, and Boston has had success from last year. Like, they took one game away from the NBA Finals. And that transition from adding Gordon Hayward back with Kyrie, that's slowing up the process. But they're getting it together, though. And now Kyrie's trying to step up and be a better leader. He said the young guys doesn't know what it take to get to the finals. And they haven't seen anything yet, especially when the playoffs start. So he's right. So, yeah. Because right now the Sixers, they're in fourth, but Jimmy Butler's over there. He's not really causing like a stir right now, but they're not like clicking on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, neither is not good enough. I don't like their 4-9. I don't think they have the depth to overcome. They're gonna have to make a trade, I think.
Yeah, they could get something. Well, I don't know. Yeah, they gotta do something because I don't see them really as a legit threat in the East as some people thought they were coming into the year. So we'll see. We'll see if the Bucks can hash it out. Do you see anybody challenging the Warriors in the West, especially with DeMarcus Cousins coming back?
Well, we'll see. We'll see injuries. There's always like injuries, right? Steph's been hurt, what? Like, he's hurt last playoffs. He was hurt 2016. He gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Steph gets hurt, so that's wide open.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see how that works out. Definitely how it works out. Jonathan, thank you for joining me today, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. Thanks for having me on. Have a good one, man.
You too. Yes, that was episode 117 of the NBA panel. I want to thank The Ringer for coming through. We're joined by staff writer Jonathan Jarks. Always good to talk to The Ringer. Hopefully you had him back soon. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next week.